Appreciate another opportunity to be able to bring a lesson here from God's Word. You probably noticed I didn't mention it this morning. Wanted to make sure everybody would come back. But I was the third Sunday person for last month, and we just got back from our trip from being gone for over a month. So we rescheduled, and here we are. So we're going to get right into it. Most of you all have heard of the term MYOB. And I think most people, before I even say what it means, know what it means. It's been, I'm only 28 years old, but it's been on this earth for quite some time, I imagine. MYOB, mind your own business, or minding your own business. That's going to be the title of my lesson, minding your own business. So, what does the Bible say about minding your own business? It's actually quite a bit. The Bible says about minding your own business. And first, before you even go into it, I would say it's safe that you would make sure you have a clear definition of what minding your business or what minding our business actually means. Now, most people, when they hear that phrase, mind your own business, they think, you know, stop being nosy or worry about yourself, you know. And I'll tell you, it's a phrase that has never been used so much by me until I had my firstborn child. I call him a child turned toddler because I don't consider toddlers children. They're toddlers. They're in their own category of evil. And my son, TJ, he asks so many questions. Why? And he doesn't know. I understand he's learning. He's in the stage where he's curious. And he'd like to know. But sometimes he just wants to know too much. And after about 3 to 5 questions, you know, I'm good. You know, hear me out. I just, you know, it goes a little something like this. So I'll be putting my shoes on, getting ready to go outside. And TJ will see me from a distance. He says, Daddy. I'm like, yes, son. He says, you know, what are you doing? I said, I'm putting my shoes on. I try to keep it as vague as possible. And he's like, are you going outside? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, ooh, I love that. I want to go outside with you. And I'm like, no, you need to stay inside. He's like, but why? I'm like, well. He's like, I want to come outside with you. I'm like, well, I'm just going outside. I'll be like throwing fruit scraps out into the trees or something like that. Something really quick. And he'll be like, ooh, I love doing that. I want to come with you. And I'm like, TJ, I'm going out there really quick. I'm going to come right back in. It's just not really necessary. Well, why isn't it necessary? I'm like, because it's hot. It's hot. And you're just going to get all sweaty because you sweat like me. It doesn't take much. He's like, why do you get all sweaty? TJ. I said, because I'm chunky and it's humid out here. And you holding the door open just going to let the cool air out. And he's like, it's humid out there? I'm like, yes, it's humid out here. Yes, TJ, it's humid. What does humid mean? I'm like, it means it's so hot that the air is sweating, okay? And just get back inside, mind your own business. And then he'll just say, haha, you know, Daddy, you're funny. And, you know, welcome to parenthood, right? But I say all that to say this. That's just one version. That's just one version of mind your own business. And that's a pretty common version, I would say. You know, stop worrying about what's going on over here. Worry about what's going on over there. But, you know, is that biblical? Is it biblical? Does the Bible say that anywhere or talk about that anywhere? Minding your own business. Worry about what's over here and not what's over there. We're going to take a further look. We're going to see. And I got a few verses here that I've noted. And I'm sure there are others. But these are just the ones that I picked out. Proverbs chapter 26, verse 17. Go ahead and turn with me to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 17. And I'll be reading from the English Standard Version this evening. So Proverbs chapter 26, verse 17 says, whoever meddles in a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a passing dog by the ears. So I'm not sure if anybody in here has ever done that, has ever gotten a passing dog or a stray dog and tried to grab them by the ears. But I've done that with my own dog, and I wouldn't advise it. It's a big no-no. So whether it's a house dog, stray dog, or whatever, they don't like it. They're not a fan of it. And thank God that we have the ability to be able to comprehend his word metaphorically, because we know grabbing a dog by his ears, that's something we can understand, something that you don't want to do, something you don't want to meddle with. We don't grab a dog by the ears. So when it says quarreling, you know, you see somebody doing that, don't meddle. Steer clear, you know, stay in your own lane. So that's just one time that it mentions it. How about 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13? 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13. And I ask that you're patient with me while I make my point here. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 13, it reads, "Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not." So people that are constantly in other people's business, that's what they do. They don't just observe and let that be it. The Bible says they're not just idlers. They're gossip. They're busybodies. They go around saying stuff they ought not to say. It shouldn't be so. It should not be so. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 15 says, "But let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer, as a meddler." And that's pretty straightforward. You shouldn't be meddling. Just as much as you shouldn't be a murderer or a thief or doing any other types of evil. Now, the majority of our text is going to come from 1 Thessalonians, and I ask that you go ahead and turn over that way. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 11, and it reads, "And to aspire to live quietly and to mind your own affairs and to work with your hands as we instructed you." So it says it right there. You know, aspire to live quietly, mind your own affairs. So that means, you know, stay in your lane. Stop worrying about other people and deal with yourself and only yourself, right? In itself, it definitely sounds like that. And these other verses that I picked out here, in their singularity, they definitely sound like that, making the point that we mind our own businesses. But we have to be careful. Because if that's all we can get from those verses, then we're missing the message. We're missing the main point. That's not what it's fully talking about. Now, do we have to mind our own businesses to an extent? As Christians, yes, absolutely. But context is important. Context is very important when it comes down to any type of reading, but especially when it comes down to the Bible. And the Bible clearly tells us what things that we should be thinking about. And if you know Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, where it says, you know, "Finally, brothers, whatsoever is true, whatsoever thing are honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think on these things." Think about these things. So the Bible tells us what we should have our mind, you know, focused on a regular basis. On the heavenly things, not stuff that's irrelevant, stuff that won't benefit our souls in any type of way. This is why context is important. You can take several verses out of the Bible individually, and people have made full religions off of them in their singularity. But that's why God gave us the full Bible and not just bits and pieces of it. And we can't just read the Bible, pick out what we like, and take that and think we're going to take it to heaven. It's not going to work. We're going to have some trouble at the gate. So, Bible clearly tells us, stop meddling, stop being about, you know, other people's business, even thinking about messing around in other people's affairs. And I'm paraphrasing. And then it tells us what to think about, what to be focused on. So, our mind should be focused on living a life overall that's pleasing to God. And we have to go to the scriptures to see exactly what that entails. So let's back it up in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We're going to read verse 1 through 12. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1 through 12. Let's read. It says, "Finally then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more. For you know what instructions we give you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things. As we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one." So, as we read these verses, we can see Paul, he's expressing just a few things that are mirrored as pleasing and an acceptable life according to God and his word. Verse 1 through 8, to group them, they're more of a means of exhortation to sanctification. you know, an urge for these people to be holy. And then verse 9 to 12 is discussing admonitions concerning mutual love among these brethren, mutual love among Christians. And we know, as Christians, that life is marked with either growth or decay. So the only way to avoid slipping backwards in life is to move forward. And Paul's instruction was from the Lord himself. Verse 1, they were already doing what they were supposed to do. He said it there. He said he instructed them to keep doing it because he said, do it more and more. He was encouraging them. He was in their business. Being a Christian, if it's a biblical concern, if it can be a detriment to someone's soul and you see another Christian struggling with it, that is your business. It may not be physically an issue that you are dealing with, but it may be something you've dealt with. It may be something you overcame. Maybe it's something you're currently studying and you know a little bit of a way you can help that person. If it's about saving a soul, it's your business. And you need to mind it like it is your own. It goes on to speak about other impurities through verse 8 that we should have self-control from. If you see me struggling, if you see me struggling with something, or I'm on my own way about it, you better bring it up to me. You better help me. Because you shouldn't let someone's ignorance to sin cause them to be lost. Obviously, they are responsible for their own bodies. They're responsible for their own souls. But if you see it, you can help them. You're a Christian. We have a duty to others, duty to encourage, to admonish others. And if you say something and they don't receive it, okay, amen, you did your part. Knock the dirt off your feet. Continue on. But make sure you're doing your part. Verse 9 through 12, he says, he didn't need to write to them about, you know, loving each other or their love for one another. They've been taught by God to love one another, and that's what they were doing. And he encouraged them to continue on. Keep it going. Do it more and more. He was in their business. He said, live quietly. You know, don't be bothered with the things that are going, that aren't going to benefit your soul. Be mindful of your own affairs. Mind the affairs of the Lord. Be about his business. Walk properly before outsiders and be dependent of no one. Be an example. That's what Christians are to do. Being a walking, living example. Just like Christ died and set the example for us, we ought to live and be an example for others. So these things in these verses here in verse 1 through 12, among many others, they all tie back to one thing. But what is that one thing? It's obedience. Now, I'd like to ask you, what is obedience? Most would say that's a rhetorical question. But if you really think about it, obedience is simply God's business. Obedience is the business of God, being about his work, doing what he wills, the business of his Son, business of the Holy Spirit, the Godhead three. They're owed our obedience. Based upon all the things they did, are doing, will do for us as Christians, we should want to do the work. We should want to do his work and be about his business. The battle has already been won, but he's constantly working for us each and every day. And we know that God has preeminence over them. We know that God has preeminence over Jesus, the Holy Spirit. We can read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 27, where it reads, you know, God has put all things in subjection under his feet. But when it says all things are put in subjection, it is plain that he has accepted who put all things in subjection under him. And compared to all the things that they ask us to do, it's very little what they ask in return. Obedience. Very little. It requires dedication. It requires work. It requires persistence, diligence, and it requires a want and a love to do it. Why? Well, Christ did all he did because he loved us. Jonathan ended his lesson with Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That's a powerful verse. That's a powerful message to anybody, believer or not. So, should we mind our business and stay out of the affairs of others? When it comes down to gossip, he said, she said, busybodies, loafers, meddlers. Yes, absolutely. We should mind our own business. We shouldn't be associated with any one of those things. But let me tell you one thing. When it comes down to being about our Lord's business as a Christian, you have a duty. a commandment. It is your job to help me get to heaven, just as much as it is your duty to get yourself to heaven. And if you ever observe something in me, in my wife, in us as parents, whatever, that can hinder me or cause me problems at the day of judgment, you better get in my business. You better make it your business. And you better take it personally. And as a Christian, I better be receptive to it. And the same goes for me, because I'm preaching to myself too. If I ever see one of you all struggling with something, or I have concerns about something, or I think you may need help with something, something that I have the ability to help with, I have a duty, a commandment, a job. I am voluntarily obligated, because nobody made me become a Christian. I chose that. We are voluntarily obligated to reach out. I should be reaching out to you in some way to help you, because if biblically it can cause you to have trouble at the day of judgment, I should want to. I should want you. You should want me to. I should want to help, whether it's study, through encouragement, teaching, admonishing, because helping you is going to help me at the same time. We're going to grow together. Whether it's something I've dealt with before, nothing you can read in this Bible that you've read 30 times over is not going to help you grow stronger in some way. So, and overall, if we do it, we're just working to go to heaven together. I don't want to go to heaven by myself. I want everybody in here to go with me. I want to go. I want you to go as more than I do. And that's how we should look at it for everybody. Want it that much. Want it more. Want it more each day. Now we know what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13. But just in case I'm assuming incorrectly, let's go ahead and read it. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 through 13 says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure." So what does that passage mean? Does that just completely contradict everything I just said? It means Terrence has work to do. It means Brother Verlin has work to do. Brother Dukes has work to do. We all have work to do, and we better do it. And we better do it carefully, respectfully, with the right intent and the motive, with love. Why? Well, because the Bible says so. Turn to Galatians chapter 6, verse 5. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 5 says, "For each will have to bear his own load." Romans chapter 14, verse 12. Romans chapter 14 and verse 12 reads, "So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." That's why we have to do it. And that's why we have to do it carefully. And that's why we have to do it with the right intent and motive. So if you see me here every Sunday, you see me here every Wednesday, trying to do the best I can, striving earnestly for eternal life, obtaining that eternal home with God, but you can see that I'm struggling with something biblically or something I've erred in, or that you think I may have misunderstood, or something that's concerning you, help me. Help me as a Christian. Help me. You owe that to me, to help me. Just as much as you want to go to heaven, I want to be right there with you. I'm a Christian. I don't want to be wrong about anything biblically. I don't think anybody in here that is a Christian wants to be wrong about anything biblically. We should be receptive. So help me. Don't just sit here every Sunday knowing I'm wrong about something, or need a little bit of study about something, or have concerns, and you know, you just settle on, well, he should know. He know better than that. His parents raised him better than that. That's not good. That's called having a hardness in your heart. And shame on you if you don't help me. Shame on me if I don't help you. Yes, I want to go to heaven. Yes, you want to go to heaven. We all want to go to heaven. We strive to work on our own salvation. Help a brother along the way. Encourage me along the way. Let's go to heaven together. It's one thing if I don't want the help. If I ever reject your help, if I'm not receptive to it, I get it. But don't let striking out keep you out of the game. Now, we can go back to the Old Testament. where there's many examples of caring for those who are weak or those who need help. You can go to Romans chapter 14, verse 1 through 12 and read the whole thing, where for the sake of time, I won't. But I encourage you to do it in your own studies. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 11. It says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. So be there for one another. We're each other's accountability partners. We need to show each other some accountability. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 1 through 10. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 through 10, and it reads, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in, the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with him, and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We were dead. We weren't physically dead, not without a pulse in our bodies, but we were dead. We all were at one point in time in our lives. Dead in the trespasses and sins that we once walked in. Why? Because we used to follow the course of this world. If we weren't in the body, we were in the world. A world that doesn't know God. A world that doesn't want to know God. Yet he made this world for them to live in. Can you imagine just building a brand new house? And you do all the decor, the finishes, the roof, the flooring, curtains, shower, all that. You just make it perfect the way you want it. And when you look at it, you said, it is good. Can you just imagine? Perfect house. And then you're the owner. You let somebody come in and stay there for a while. And they just start changing everything to their liking. They didn't like it. It wasn't something that was kosher to their vibe. So they start changing it. Like, they were just given this place. Didn't have anything before. They weren't anything before. And all of a sudden, they just come up in here and just start changing stuff because they just didn't like it. It was beautiful the way it was. Then man comes on God's earth, and he just starts messing stuff up. It's sad. And people lived on this earth many years doing whatever they want to, and they still do. But God, it was God that is so rich in his mercy, and because of his great love for us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ, it says. And because of his grace and our obedience to him, we've been saved. And for the coming ages, he continues to show his immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us through his son, Christ Jesus. And us being saved is not our own doing, but it's a gift. And it's a gift from God. Then in verse 10, it says, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. We are God's workmanship. We are his business. He minds us. And if he didn't, we would be nothing but lost. Christians work under the same compulsion as much as the one that rests upon Jesus there in John chapter 9, verse 4. And let's turn there really quick. John chapter 9, verse 4. John chapter 9, verse 4 reads, we must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. we must work the works of one who sent me. That's what Jesus said there. We must mind God's business. And God's business is saving souls. We need to be so familiar with the duties of employment that when we're at work, which is literally everywhere, we can teach others, we can help train others, and be mindful of others, help others to grow, helping others and guiding them in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. That should be our business. The Bible says God will render to every man according to his own works. And helping to save souls, being all about God's business, that's a good work. That's a great work. The truth is clear enough for all that wish to know it. But don't be caught minding the business of others in the ways that the Lord says not to. Do it in the way that His word says to. Make the Lord's business your own. Mind it always, and it will be the most successful and profitable business you will ever be a part of. Guarantee it. If you're here and you've never minded the Lord's business, there's something that you have to do in order to have that promise of eternal life. You have to hear the word. You have to believe it. You have to repent of your sins. And those old trespasses against God, you have to be dead to them. You got to confess Jesus to be the Son of God, and you have to be baptized and bury that old creature that had no hope, no nothing to look forward to, who was dead. And then the journey begins, living your life as a Christian. And when we start to mind the business of the Lord, the business that will then become our business. You can say Christians are stakeholders or are shareholders in the Lord's business. But even then, we can falter. We can still be those meddlers, those idlers, open our mouths, saying things that we ought not to. We have the unfortunate ability to sin. And God tells us in His word that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And if you say you not sin, you call them a liar. Wouldn't want to be caught calling God a liar. That is a slope you do not want to slide down. So we have to be careful. God knows that we'll sin. And the grace of His forgiveness, we don't deserve it. But we have it. We have it through the death of His Son. And those who are in His body, they can be forgiven through repentance. Confessing those sins, repenting, doing our best to do those things no more. But instead, just becoming stronger for it, learning from those mistakes, becoming stronger for those things that we were once dead in, using it for our advantage, but not returning to it. And through repentance, our sins can be blotted from our book of life. Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 12 says, "For I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I'll remember their sins no more." If that's not the most comforting verse you ever read in the Bible, I don't know what is. To know that He was so merciful to us that we can be forgiven, but not just forgiven, but forgiven in a way that He won't remember our sins anymore. We have to be mindful, vigilant, because the devil doesn't forget. The devil does not forget, and he will do his best to make sure that any opportune time, he can remind us so we can return to that sin. That's what the devil wants. We have to be stronger than that. We have to stay on the straight and narrow, and we have to return back to the fold and be in God's mercy through repentance. So for either reason, if there's anyone who needs to respond to the invitation at this time, we ask you to come forward as we together stand and sing.
Someday you stand at the bar.